How many knows if you keep on praying, it'll work? It'll work, won't it? Praise the Lord. Honor the Lord tonight for His mercy and His goodness. And it is an honor to be here. Appreciate the invitation and the opportunity. And appreciate Brother Sister Roadcap, the church here, and the family. Amen. Just a privilege to be at convention. Amen. I believe just a few moments ago, we were just about ready to blow it out. Whoa. You don't know it, but I was praying we would. Amen. Because now I'm in a dangerous place, and I've got to hurry. But we appreciate you so much, and trust the Lord to help us here for just a few minutes, and I'm going to try to make it quick as I possibly can. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter number 2, and we're going to read there at verse number 7. I want to say we appreciate all of the preachers, everything that's been said and done. I've been like a big old sponge, just soaking it in. And somewhere down the road, I'm going to squeeze that out on somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've been called everything from Abraham to Grandpa. And so one of these times, Abraham or Grandpa or Daddy is what it is. I'm just going to squeeze some of that out. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You love convention? I love convention. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 7. Try to hurry on here. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise God, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. Real quickly, I want to just borrow three words from verse number 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Amen. He is precious. Hallelujah. Precious simply is a value. It is money paid. It is valuables. It is simply something that is esteemed of a highest degree, or simply dignity itself. It is honor. It is something that has a price and is the sum of something. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the glances of his eyes outshine the sun. The beauties of his face are fairer than the choicest flowers. No fragrance is like the breath of his mouth. Gems of the mine and pearls from the sea are worthless things when measured by his preciousness. Amen. You see, Peter here tried to tell us how precious Jesus is, but he couldn't tell us how precious that he really was, nor could he compute the value of God's unspeakable gift. Words could not set forth the preciousness of the Lord Jesus to his people, nor fully tell how essential he is to their satisfaction and happiness. Amen. Believer, have you not found in the midst of plenty a sore famine if the Lord Jesus be absent? Amen. Hey, where would we be if the sun were shining but Christ had hidden himself? All the world was black to us and it was simply night. Amen. And since the bright morning star would be gone, no other star could yield so much as a ray of light. Oh, hallelujah. What a howling wilderness this would be if it were not for him. Amen. I'm glad tonight in this service that he is not hidden from us. I'm glad that he is still precious, aren't you? I'm certainly glad that he has a value. Amen. I'm certainly glad that in 2016, when it seems like the world has devalued him, they've rewritten the book and taken all the powerful words out. I'm glad to know. Come on, help me here just a little bit. I'm glad that
that he is still valuable. Amen. All of the earth's candles cannot make delight if the sun of righteousness be eclipsed. Amen. Why? Because he is the soul of our soul. He is the light of our light, and he is the life of our life. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I'm just a young man, believe it or not. Amen. Despite Brother Road Cap's a description the other night, I'm just 39. Just barely in my 30s. Amen. Just barely. I understand. I was coming through Walmart here in this city, and in town, and just Monday, I believe it was, or Tuesday, coming out, and it's kind of cold outside, and so I was putting the blanket over Olivia, and she just turned 5 months old just this month, and I was putting the blanket over, and the Walmart greeter said, "Boy, that's a good grandpa, isn't it?" Amen. So when Brother Roadcap announced that we would be preaching in the youth service, I told my wife, I said, "I'm a little bit confused how a gray-headed grandpa could still be invited to preach youth service." Amen. Hey, with that said, let me tell you, I am no stranger to finding God in the deepest, darkest times of my life. How about you? I am not a stranger to needing God in the wee hours of the night when nobody else was around and I needed an answer and I needed God. You know what I found? I found that if I kept on praying, I said if I kept on praying, what did I find? I found him to be precious. I found him to have value. Come on here. I found him to be valuable. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, he is precious. Amen. To whom is he precious? Well, to the believer. Amen. What did the verse say? Amen. Oh, yeah. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Believe here means simply to have faith upon or with respect to a personal thing. Amen. It means to entrust a spiritual well-being to Christ. It means to believe, to commit, to put your trust in. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. We see a separation here without even really knowing who it is. Amen. We see here that the emphasis is put on the believer. Notice the hypocrite and the sinner have never been mentioned. Why is it that we mention the hypocrite so much? Why is it that we put the emphasis sometimes, what if it wasn't for so-and-so, bless God, I'd probably get in. Amen. Oh, amen. Look here, the hypocrite, the sinner, have not been mentioned. Why? Because if they knew him to be precious, they would not be hypocrites and they would not be sinners. Why? Because he would be precious to them. Now, this is probably not going to matter much to you, but we were coming over the mountain, Sandstone Mountain. How many knows where that's at? Probably everybody here knows where it is. Well, I had forgotten all about that mountain. I used to drive a tractor trailer many, many years ago over that hill and noticed all of the marks in the road where others hadn't paid attention. Realizing that at the top, it's mandatory that all tractor trailers pull over to the side and check out their brakes. I mean, it's a law. You have to do it. And so I'd forgotten about that hill, really, that mountain, when I left from where I left to come here and just took it for granted by talking to a precious brother of mine that used to own my trailer and just kind of got in a hurry. And he said, "Yeah, the brakes are fine. Everything should be good on it." He said, it worked fine when I had it. So I just kind of took that for granted and left out of there. Come on down the road and crested the top of Sandstone about 50 miles an hour. I said, "Well, I'll be able to hold that back. That's no problem." Well, it got going on over the hill, and I realized that the trailer wasn't helping me at all. Now, I don't have a pop-up, let me tell you. Amen. Oh, yeah. My little old trailer's 41 foot, and it weighs probably about 18,000 pounds right now with everything we own in it. It's heavy, probably too heavy, I know. But I came over that hill, and the old trailer started pushing me. And I realized I just had one more pump out of those brakes. And so I hit them as hard as I could and coasted to the side. And the thing finally got stopped. And the sun was shining over the truck, Brother Webb. And the smoke was rolling off the front brakes. Somebody said, you big dummy, ain't you got no sense to check all that stuff? I guess you've never made a mistake either, huh? So I didn't tell my wife how bad it was. We just sat there for a while, and about 20 minutes, let it cool off. I put the thing down in low gear and let it roll off of the hill real easy. And I decided that when I got where I was going, preaching revival, when I got the next day off, I'd just adjust the brakes. That's probably all they needed anyway. So Friday after revival was over, I jacked up the axles and started adjusting brakes. And I adjusted one. I left it up, and I told Bethany. I said, hey, go up there. I plugged the truck in. I said, you hit the brakes when I tell you, and I'm going to make for sure these things are working. So I gave that wheel a big old spin. I said, hit the brake. Well, come on, hit the brake. She said, I did. That wheel was still spinning. I said, whoa, we got some problems. Further inspection found that the front axle and the rear axle, my trailer's got three, the front and the rear were not working at all. It was only the center axle, and it just barely was working. Come on now, you tell me he's not precious. It was a family rolling over the hill, and if God hadn't stopped it, it could have been a lot worse. Come on now, I'm telling you, oh yes, I found him to be precious. I remember several years ago, Bethany's now 15, just turned 15 Tuesday. When she was 4 years old, I'd gotten up that morning kind of sick, and we were normal people then, okay? What I mean is I just had a job and went to work every day. You know anything about that? Because the ministry is not normal. Come on now. And I love the ministry, don't get me wrong, but it is not normal. Amen. So it was one of those times when, and, you know, my wife and I have been married 22 years this coming September. And all of that 22 years has been in some part of the ministry somehow or another. And but this time we were home, and I was working a job and getting up every morning. This morning I got up sick. And I'm not a wimp, but I'm telling you, I felt bad. And I wanted to stay home. I was a groan, and I said, oh, my goodness. I just think I'll just stay home. Well, I got on up and got dressed and went on to work, and I was at work probably, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, I'm not even sure. My telephone rang, and the number and the name that appeared up on that phone was from somebody that I didn't even, I mean, they didn't normally call me, and I knew if they were calling, something was wrong, Brother O'Cap. And so I said, hello. And she said, hey, it's one of the sisters in the church. She said, hey, there's a problem. I said, what's the matter? She said, there has been somebody break into your home. And she said, they've come in with a knife and in on your wife. And she said, you better get home. I said, see you later. I hung up the phone, and I'm not even going to bother telling you how fast I drove home, because I don't even know myself. But I raced home as fast as I could, slid up into the driveway, ran into the house, and there was my wife just bawling hysterically. I didn't know what was going on. I finally got her calmed down. I said, talk to me. What in the world's happened here? She said, we were laying in bed, me and Bethany, trying to make her minds to get up, and we had a restroom, bathroom came off the side of the bedroom. She said that door opened up, and she said there was a shoulder came through, and she said the shirt that the shoulder had on looked a whole lot like yours when you left. And she said, I didn't even think about it, I thought for sure it was you. She said, but the door opened wider. And when it did, she said there was an individual came in and said he was a big guy. He had a mask on his face, and in one hand he had a towel, and in the other hand he had a knife. Amen. Now, I'm pretty sure he wasn't coming over for coffee. What do you think? I said, what happened? She said, he come on in, right around through, come around the foot of the bed, and started down the side of the bed. And she said, I told him, get out of here. Get out of my house. He said he kept on coming. And she said, I raised my foot up and kicked at him. But obviously that was not going to stop him. He was much bigger than her. And she said, oh, what am I going to do? And then she said, oh, Lord, you're going to have to come to me right now. Come on here. And so she began to pray. And she began to ask God to move, began to ask God to help. And she said, Lord, I need you to come right now. And she began to ask God to move in that boy's eyes. She could see through his mask. They started getting bigger when she started praying. And she prayed within just a few minutes. The Holy Ghost came down and that heavenly language began to speak. And boy's eyes got bigger and he started looking all around the room. And about that time she raised her finger and pointed at him. And the Holy Ghost directed him out of that house. Listen, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you've never experienced him, I'm telling you, he is still precious. Despite what this world says, despite everything that's happening, there is still a God. I said there's still a God. There is still a Jesus Christ. And he is still precious. Still precious. And because he is, I've got a wife, 15-year-old daughter. <gasps> 14 years between the first one, and I've got a 5-month-old. Come on now. You know what? That's something in itself. We were preaching revival several years ago at Brother Rose's over in Front Royal. It's been about 10 years, I guess it was, 9 years, something like that. It was 2007 when it was, actually. And we were preaching there, and I was telling the story of how God blessed us with Bethany. And the pastor's wife was sitting there, and she said, hey, she said, that's not the only blessing God was talking about. I said, excuse me, she did it right while I was preaching. She said, that's not the only I will God was talking about. And so we went on, we went around preaching, wound up in Texas, and a pastor friend of mine got to telling us, he said, it's going to happen, God's going to bless you, there's going to be another child, God's going to do it. Boy, we just was shouting, thinking just in a minute God was going to do it, just in, you know, just in a little while. It never happened for 14 years. 6 o'clock one morning. I was laying in the bed trying to get up. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, if you get up at 3 o'clock, I'm sorry. You're better than I am. I wasn't getting up at 3 o'clock that morning. Man, I was somewhere between that rest and that, you know, needing to get up. You ever been there? All at once, this voice comes screaming out and come into the room. She said, we're going to have a baby. I raised up and I said, and that means what to me? I'm still asleep. I'm on here. Oh, listen. And then it just began to sink in. I remembered all the things that God had told us, the promises. One promise after the other. Just about the time that you think God's not going to do it, come on here. Amen. He'll be precious. And he'll show up. I'm going to tell you tonight. I know things are tough. I know they're bad. I know you don't understand. And I know we need God to move. Don't never quit. Don't never stop praying. God will move. Why? Because he is still precious. I'll tell this and close real quickly and get out of the way. My wife and I went through some things a few months back we hadn't planned on. You ever dealt with the things or had to deal with the things that you didn't plan on? Sometimes we call it being blindsided. Oh, come on, don't look at me like that. You ever had that happen? Well, we did our best. Things changed. Circumstances changed. We left. We went and moved on. And I just, you know, Brother Milliken this morning preached so well, didn't he? Brother Peach, man, I'm telling you, they done great. Brother Webb last night. It's all been great so far. Everything's been great. But Brother Milliken was talking about hearing folks say they were burnt out. Hearing folks saying they was discouraged and saying how can they be discouraged and be a Christian. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you've never been there, you don't understand it. Amen. This former pastor was burnt out. Amen. I hadn't sinned. I hadn't went to one place I shouldn't go. I hadn't said anything I shouldn't say. Come on here. I was still just as saved as ever was. I just burned up. Needed a little time, you understand? So I took off some time. We just sat down. Tried to regroup. Pull ourselves together. Come on. I didn't do it by myself. My wife, And Bethany, we pulled ourselves together, began to pray and ask God what his plan was. But in the meantime, while my wife was expecting Olivia, the spirit of discouragement just came on her like we'd never seen before. It was worse than we'd ever seen. She's never been a down person, ever. She's always singing, going through the trailer, going through the house, singing wherever it was. But I noticed that the songs were not there. It was a little bit quiet in the house. Oh, God. Woo, come on. Oh, that troubled me so bad I didn't really know what to do except pray. So we were going to church and being faithful, doing what we're supposed to do. Amen. One night in the service, I was praying over in the corner, and the Holy Ghost came to me. Spirit of God came to me. I'm telling you, he put the dance in my feet again. The Holy Ghost came on me. That heavenly language began to roll up, and God touched me. Amen. I looked over, and I said, well, surely Michelle's getting blessed. Surely Michelle's getting touched. I looked over, and she just standing there crying. I said, oh, got to be a little bit more than that. Well, a little bit of time went on, and there wasn't much change. But I was feeling pretty good myself, but I knew she wasn't. Amen. Time went on. Just a few weeks. We wound up at church again. The church was getting ready to start a revival. On a Sunday night, Saturday night, there was a visiting evangelist came through. Amen. And his wife began to sing a song, and I looked over at my wife. Tears was a rolling. I said, ooh, I think God's going to help her tonight. And I thought, well, she's about to go to that altar any minute. Amen. Somebody said, a preacher's wife going to the altar? Oh, man. So that evangelist's wife finished her song. The evangelist got up and preached, and I'm telling you, it was just like he knew everything that was happening. He didn't, but God did. Man, he preached. I'm telling you, it went so good. And as soon as he made the altar call, she almost ran to that altar. But she began to pray and she began to cry. And it wasn't long, the Holy Ghost came to her. She began to dance around on her knees, and all of her hair stuff began to fly everywhere. And she messed her hair all up. I mean, tears are running down her face. She reared her head back, and the Holy Ghost was a moving on her. I said, oh, thank God. And the only thing I could think of, I'm glad that he is still precious, and that nobody, I said nobody, can ever take it away. Listen, folks, I don't have this preaching thing figured out. I don't have this ministry thing figured out, but I do know that he is precious. Praise God. Can you stand all over the house? God bless you tonight. Stand all over the building. Lift your hands and worship the Lord, would you?
Hallelujah.